Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our Armed Forces Day commemoration. And I would start the proceedings this morning by asking the Lord Lieutenant, please, to inspect the serving military, the cadets, and the associations and military support organisations. Thank you, sir.
Hooray! Standard eight.
Ladies and gentlemen, the raising of the Armed Forces Day flag.
Parade, parade, shut.
Standard bearers carry standards.
That's standard east.
Standard eight.
Ladies and gentlemen, our speakers this morning represent all parts of our community, including each of the serving armed forces. I would ask the first speaker, the Vice Chair of Dorset Council, Councillor Les Fry, to come to the microphone. Thank you.
Welcome on behalf of Dorset Council to this short ceremony to mark our support for our armed forces and to fly the flag. In the past, all previous local authorities in Dorset signed the Armed Forces Community Covenant, which is a statement of some mutual support between the civilian and armed forces communities. We at Dorset Council are very pleased to honour the covenant, which encourages integration between service life and civilian life. Many towns and villages in Dorset depend upon the servicemen and women, both economically and socially, whilst they are in the forces, and when they retire into our communities. The communities are intricately linked, and we provide services to all residents, whether civilian or military. We are encouraged to offer each other support, whether through official duties or through a very active voluntary sector. Therefore, today's ceremony is to mark our respect for our armed forces and the continuing good relationship between the nation, local and national government, and the armed forces community.
Thank you, Vice Chair. And the next speaker, His Majesty's Lord Lieutenant, Mr. Angus Campbell, CVO.
As His Majesty's Lord Lieutenant for Dorset, it's a tremendous privilege for me to take part and to speak at this raising of the flag ceremony here at County Hall. As a nation, we have extremely high quality, but it seems ever-shrinking armed forces. It is evident that as numbers that can be called upon become smaller, the tasks appear to come ever greater. In my position, I have the privilege and the opportunity to work with regular forces, reserves, and the cadets of all services, and they never cease to impress me with their dedication, determination, and skill. The ceremony today is a splendid opportunity to celebrate and respect the service and sacrifice of the men and women of all our armed forces, both past and present. The discipline, respect, and training that is fostered by service life are terrific assets for any individual to develop within their personalities and, by extension, a great asset to our communities and to our nation. The military, which in many ways operates as a family in its own right, are practiced in working together and supporting each other, even in the most difficult circumstances. When the time comes to make that transition back to civilian life, the vast majority achieve this with the same determination and skill with which they have tackled their tasks within the service, bringing those qualities with them to benefit us all. However, there are a small number who, as a result of their combat experience, find this transition far more difficult and need our support, care, and understanding to recover and to find their place within civilian life. We will all be aware of the tremendous work done and the advances made in the rehabilitation of the physical injuries of combat and the urgent and ongoing need for support in mental health from the numerous sufferers from PTSD. There is also a continuing need to support for the bereaved military families that result from the personal sacrifice of individual servicemen and women. Ceremonies such as this, that focus our minds on what servicemen and women are doing and have done for us all, are also an important means of concentrating our minds on what needs to be done by way of support for them within our communities. It will not have escaped anybody's notice that the last 2.5 years, Russia has, in an unprovoked fashion, attacked Ukraine. Now, this, I include this for one reason only. It shows that, basically, it's a wake-up call to all the Western nations, because there is no greater duty for a government than to protect the people that it governs. And clearly, defense services are the important part of that. So it's a wake-up call and a stark reminder that we aren't as secure as perhaps we thought we were before. And I trust that this will cause a change in attitude so that we can go forward with more confidence that we can all be protected in the West, and particularly clearly in this country, from any unprovoked aggression. We owe a great deal of gratitude to those who've served and continue to serve. They're the foundation of our stability as a nation and continue to contribute beyond their service throughout their lives. They take their place within our cities, towns, and villages with a pride and presence that can only come from being a servant of the Crown. And I would like to take this opportunity to applaud each and every one of them.
And now, representing the Royal Navy, Commander Louis Wilson Shannon.
Good morning, everyone. It's a great honour to be able to represent the commanding officer of the Royal Naval Air Station at Yeovilton at your celebration of Armed Forces Day today. The Royal Navy, global, modern and ready, is your platform on the world stage. You may not hear everything that we do, but I can assure you and be rest assured that we're out there working 24/7, 365 days a year, at home and abroad, to protect our nation's interests and deter aggression. Operating across the globe to ensure free flow of trade to our nation island, we maintain sea lines of communications which underpin the British economy and our people. A thriving Britain and global economy depends on maritime trade, so the UK needs a strong navy to protect our interests. We're also there to support other nations, particularly during humanitarian aid and disaster relief is required. Forward deployed, we're often the first on the scene. The Royal Navy is very proud that nearly 1 million jobs and many billions of pounds of the UK economy are directly supported by the UK maritime sector. Personally, I was born in Yeovil and have served at both the Royal Naval Air Station at Portland and Yeovilton, so I've had the privilege of living in the local community for the past 40 years. As such, and on behalf of our naval personnel, I wish to say thank you, not only for the support that you've given to them, but also the support you have shown to our families, particularly when the serving personnel is away. Your continued support is very much appreciated. Thank you.
Representing the Army and Bovington Garrison, Major Pete Rooney.
Good morning, and thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be part of this fantastic event here in Dorchester. Armed Forces Day has been marked annually since 2009 to raise awareness and show support for Great Britain's Armed Forces, including their families, reservists, cadets and veterans. This is important to the entire military community. Service to the country requires an individual, and perhaps even more crucially, their family, to sacrifice several freedoms that their civilian counterparts may take for granted. Armed Forces Day allows the country to recognise this each year and to visibly show their support for the ongoing work of the military, their support of families and the previous service of our incredible veterans. This has been significantly poignant this year as we remember the events of D-Day from 80 years ago. I congratulate and thank Dorchester for the events they have delivered, and of note the impressive convoy of 100 plus World War II vehicles just this weekend. On Forces Day is a crucial opportunity for us to educate the nation on our role and the work that we do every day in support of the country's defence and national priorities. Dorset is home to several military communities. I take a moment to selflessly concentrate on the Army at this point, and in particular, the Combat Manoeuvre Centre in Bovington and Lulworth. We have an unavoidable tendency to make a lot of noise and to transport large vehicles amongst the local community as we conduct the crucial task of training the Army's armoured vehicle crews. I'm always hugely grateful for the incredible support of both the people of Dorset and of the large number of skilled civilian staff from the county who work alongside us every day. In closing, I would like to thank Dorset Council for their continued support for Armed Forces Day, the Armed Forces Covenant, and hence the entire military community in Dorset, including our incredible families without whom we could not serve. It is a whole team effort. Your commitment to us is clearly evident and very gracefully received. Thank you.
Representing the Royal Air Force, Wing Commander Pez Coles.
Lord Lieutenant, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. As the junior service, we always get to go last, so I'll try not to repeat too much of what you've already heard. But you're probably already sitting there thinking, you know, the Royal Air Force aren't really represented in Dorset hugely. But if you think back to D-Day celebrations last week, it's probably not lost on a lot of you that the initial wave of Horsa gliders that towed them behind transport aircraft left Tarrant Rushton within this lovely county. And that typifies, I think, our activity alongside the Navy. A lot of what we do is over the horizon and often unseen, particularly by the nation, even from our sister services. And so right now we have aircraft sat ready to protect the UK's airspace from either domestic terrorism or even the Russians that are coming around. We have aircraft tracking nuclear submarines as we speak up in the North Sea. As the Lord Lieutenant's already discussed, that threat is very real and very much upon us, and we are tackling that every day. But equally, we've got aircraft flying around the Baltics doing surveillance and protection for the Ukrainian conflict that's going on. We have aircraft in Cyprus that are still active in Syria fighting the conflict with Daesh, further south against the Houthi in Yemen. And of course, probably something we all take pride in is the airdrops over Gaza helping those in need, with our army colleagues delivering aid into there from underneath parachutes. So we're really, really quite busy, like all of the armed services, and there's fewer of us. So where that becomes really relevant is when we come home. Because as a service person, we often leave our families, friends, loved ones behind, deploy off to sunny, sandy places, get looked after, and do the job we joined and trained for. But it's very much when we come back, and more people I meet live in Dorset, so we're quite often based away, but we decide to set up a home, and a lot of people have chosen your lovely county, and I'm seeing that more and more often. And they will then travel away the week. So our family live here, our friends, and we'd like to become part of the community. And I think that's what typifies this week, is the fact that we come out of our shells and we may just admit we might put our uniform on and just a bit more to it, so we get included. And it's a lovely thing to do. So thank you very much, Dorset, for not only raising the flag, but holding this event over the week. It's very much appreciated by both the regulars, the reserves, the Royal Air Force cadets, and also our veteran community, which is also significantly large. And of course, being the junior service, we're effectively your younger child, and we all know that secretly we all love our youngest child. So thank you from us, the Royal Air Force.
Hooray! Hooray! Jump!
Ladies and gentlemen, ask the Vice Chair of Dorset Council to give the call for three cheers. Thank you.
Three cheers for all our military personnel. Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our short service this morning. And I thank you again for attending and for the sentiments that we all share in commemorating the role of our armed forces at this time. Thank you, and we hope to see you at the next Dorset Council commemoration. Thank you.
All right, to your right, four.